Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How great is our God? How great is our God? Well, here I go again. I'm going to borrow yours, Fred. Okay. I like the deeper place with God. There is a deeper place. There's always a deeper place. Last week when we talked about beneath the surface, and we want to be so deep in the Lord that when people look beneath the surface of us, they find Jesus. And they find more Jesus. And they find more Jesus. And the deeper that we are with the Lord, then the more we understand what James said. He said, count it all joy. Everything isn't joyous, but the Lord is. The Lord is joyous. So we count it all joy. It isn't telling us to, we weren't rejoicing when Michael wasn't Michael, you know? We rejoiced in when he was a little kid and would sit in front of the cassette player listening to music, and it had a glass on the front of it, and then he would listen to praise music, and all of a sudden it would hit him, and up he would get, running around the room, the house, all through the house, praising the Lord. And I finally caught on and decided I was going to follow him whenever he did that. God's good. The things of this earth are minimal. You know? God created the heavens and the earth. We know that. And we know that he created them, and he saved the best till last, and he gave the best all to the last. And the last didn't last long. And so then he picked a little tribe of, no tribe of Israel at the time, a man called Abraham. He picked Abraham and he said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Go. Never told him where to go. He just said, go. Leave your father's house and go. Not that there was anything wrong with his father. And that's what the Lord says to us sometimes. Just go. Enter into this place. What is this place? We don't know. But you'll find it. You'll know when you get there. When we seek the Lord, we don't always know what we're going to find. And sometimes we find it and we don't know what we found. And then we find out what we found. And then we're like they were saying in the appealing, this is that. This is that. This is that which the Lord has for us. This is that. This is that. And we want that. We want that. It's a sad thing when some people want only part of that. Because that part makes me uncomfortable. Or this part makes me uncomfortable. Get over your uncomfort and get comfortable. Get comfortable with God. He said, comfort my people. Get comfortable with God. Now I was reading the Bible I don't know exactly where it was, but it was in the Old Testament and probably in Jeremiah, and it talks about the fear of the Lord, and I wondered if I feared the Lord properly What's the proper way to fear the Lord? You know? I say when I got saved, I was drunk, stoned, and high, and immediately I was straight and I was sober and I was afraid, but I wasn't necessarily afraid of God. I was afraid because what used to be not so bad was just flat sin. And I didn't get straight sober and in love with God. I didn't know about loving God. I didn't know that you could love God, although the Bible does say love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I needed to get over that, and I was willing to get over that part. But here's the thing that if I really fear something, it's I fear losing the relationship I have with God. That would be awful. Now, nothing's going to separate me from His love, but I would be afraid to live without Him. Not because I would go to hell. I just can't imagine life without Him. There is no life without You. I searched everywhere, and I know it's true, Lord. There's no life without You. You know. So if I'm afraid of something, it's afraid of disappointing God. I don't want to disappoint God, and yet God is so amazing that He's not disappointed in us. That's crazy. You know, He doesn't ever lose sight of what He made us to be. If I get enough levels deep of Jesus, I'll be that way too. But only when I get in heaven probably will I come to the place where, you know, Jesus never had to correct His thinking. Never once did He have to correct His thinking. He didn't have to justify what He said. He always did what pleased the Father. Remember to the Pharisees that He said to them, you know, here's the deal. You can't give yourself to come to Me because you don't have room in your heart for My message. Lord, we pray for room in our hearts for Your message. Grant us ears to hear what You're saying to us. Show us Your ways and teach us Your paths, Lord. In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. You know, when we were enjoying the healing service, and remember, they said, continue to say, Jesus healed you. Jesus healed you. He healed us by His stripes. He did. He did. He did what He did. Now, I don't have all the answers to how we walk into it, but it's there. Amen. It's just there. Amen. Everything with Him is there. And so we just need to go there. And we need to trust that He will lead us there. The same way that He said to Abraham, I'm gonna lead you. I'm going to lead you. All right then. That's comfortable, isn't it? You're going to lead me. I can get rid of my, I don't know. You know, I can get rid of that. He's leading. I said, if I'm riding along with somebody, I don't remember how we got where we're going. Things happen, you know. We receive boldness. And Vicki got a phone call. I'll give her testimony. She got a phone call, and the person that she got the phone call from was just speaking in unattractive ways. And she said, "I'm not going to talk to you if you're going to talk that way." And he said, "That's just the way I am." And she said, "The way I am is I won't talk to you if you talk like that." It's kind of bold. But guess what? He finished the whole conversation speaking English. Probably the first one in his adult life. But he was able. Now, he might have got off the phone and said, "What just happened there?" Who knows? But the Lord does work in our life. He gives us boldness. You know, when you've got this urge to share, you've got the boldness to do it. But you've got to put it in gear. We need to be consistent at putting our faith and our trust and our hope and our love in God in gear. The world doesn't, they don't hesitate to shove it into any gear that they want to. You know? And they might respond with, "Well, that's the way I am." And then we need to be able to respond with, "Well, I'm sorry, but..." You know, you make room in your heart for the truth. Here's the truth. Because then you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I love in Jeremiah that he talks about the fact that he... Oh, and I didn't even mark it right. I'm sorry. But there's a place where he says... "I strayed from God and I hated myself for it. And I beat myself and I kicked myself. But the Lord was good to me." In my youth, I was nowhere near the Lord. And I have hated that I did that. But I have loved that it's gone. Perfect love casts out all fear. It can't come back. It can't bother it. Jeremiah 17:7 said, "Blessed are those people who make the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted by the water. They won't be moved. They continually bear fruit. We worship in your throne. Eternal, high and glorious. Oh Lord, if you heal me, I will be truly healed. If you save me, I will be truly saved. My praises are for you alone. I'm clay in a potter's hand." Are we clay in the potter's hand? We don't need to fire the clay ourselves. We don't ever need to be so galvanized and shiny and hard that we can't be molded. Molding takes us to a deeper place. When we're moldable, then we're not stuck on anything. We're not. I encourage you, don't get stuck on anything you know, because the Lord may help you no more. He will. But if we come to a place where we know it all, then we can't be moved. Interestingly enough, there are things going on in this world I think it was Lance Wallnau when we were listening to it said, how many churches are apart of the ecclesia. How many churches are a part of what God's doing? Well, churches that are embracing abominable things are not part of it. They just aren't. And if people are embracing what they're embracing, then they just aren't. Now, I'm not judging where or what's going to be the end of those people. I'm just recognizing where they are. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way of the Lord's anointed few. I started out with Jesus. I'm going through. Appeal to heaven. An appeal to heaven. Appeal. I've given you the nations. We agree. We appeal to heaven. We appeal to that. No matter what it is, nothing's too small to appeal to heaven about. Nothing's too big to appeal to heaven about. We appeal to heaven. We don't like, but we are not going to be discouraged or defeated because of the direction that things are going. We're appealing to heaven. If we appeal to heaven, we believe, don't we believe, heaven's listening. We believe that heaven is listening. We don't follow it up with "you never know." We do know. We do know. We don't have to know why, whatever it is. We don't have to explain the whys or the whatevers. Jesus didn't have to, just like he didn't have to justify what he said. If he would have done and would have come to them the way they wanted him to come to them, they would have been dropped in a hole in the ground. But he came the way that the Father sent him. He came that we might have life. He didn't come to end life. He came to reveal life. He came to reveal just how powerful his word was. If they could just make room in their hearts for his message. But their hearts were so full of their own message that even when he would amaze them with what he was and who he was and what he could do, they couldn't get beyond their hard hearts. Jeremiah, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "You must influence them. Do not let them influence you." You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. Don't let anything remove the rock that you stand on and cause you to slip around in the sand. Standing on the rock. Building their house on the rock. When we put in a wooden basement, it's got a gazillion rocks under it. They call it a floating basement, supported by what's around it. Surround yourself with with the Word of God. Surround yourself with the influence of God. Let His Word, let His ways be the thing that influences you, not the most, but what influences you exclusively. Let His Word be your answer. Let His promises be your hope. See, all of those things are right there. They're offered to us on the surface, and then they go deep, 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 deep. And what we find as we trust the Lord is we arrive at the floor that depth is on. You know? When our son was born early and passed away, we didn't know that we were anywhere near that level. We didn't even know there was a promise of that level of peace. And we found ourselves in the elevator door, if you want to call it that, opened up, and there we were with this thing, wonderful thing, the peace of God on us, and we didn't put it on. It was there. God had it there. And we had a choice. We could take it, or we could refuse it. Sometimes when you take the things of God, people will try to influence you. People thought, poor Vicky, Roger's making her act like it's okay. It wasn't necessarily okay. We were just okay. It was just, he was there. He was there. He's always there. We just need to look for him. We just need to turn to him. We just need to call on him. We just need to seek him. That's all we have to do. He said, when you seek me, you'll find me. And so, if he is our desire, then he is what we're going to seek. Makes sense, doesn't it? Simple as can be, isn't it? It is. I think as Jesse Duplantis says, that it takes a good theologian to complicate it. Jesus never complicated anything. He said things they couldn't grasp. But if they would look to him, they would get it. He told them sometimes, I know you can't receive it right now, but you will. It will come. You don't have to have the Bible memorized to have the truth make you free. Because God will teach you things you didn't know you read. He'll teach you things you've never heard. And you should be comfortable with them. You know? Just be comfortable with God. Just, when you're not comfortable, be comfortable with God. When you're discouraged, be comfortable with God. If you're angry, be comfortable with God. If you're sad, be comfortable with God. If you're confused, be comfortable with God. Let Him be your guide. What we want in our lives is for Jesus to be our motivation. So if He's our motivation, then He's who we rely on. He's the light of the world. It's like I said, you know, talking about Jeremiah, because I'm pretty sure it was Jeremiah, when they stuck him in a cistern. And he went down. There was no water in the cistern, so he wouldn't drown, but it was muddy, and he got stuck in the mud. We have times when we're stuck. You know, and I said that, have you ever felt stuck? And then I was stuck. And as my flesh said, I don't have time to be stuck. You know, this has got to get done. It's got to get printed. It's got to get proofed. It's got to get to the copier. It's got to get to church. That's my flesh saying it. But my spirit says, you ain't going to get anywhere spinning your wheels. So I waited. When they were going to get Jeremiah out, they dropped rags down there and said, now wrap these around you, wrap them around, put them under your arm so the rope doesn't hurt you when we pull you up. God gives us, he gives us what we need. But we're required to put it on. We have a robe of righteousness that we can put on. We have a garment of praise that we can put on. We can praise ourselves right out of confusion. We can praise ourselves right out of pain. We can praise ourselves. We can praise ourselves right out. But he gives us the tools, and then we put them to use. I see tools sometime I have no idea what they're to be used for. There's just things that I don't recognize what they should be used for. God gives us tools sometimes that we don't necessarily know how to use. In fact, we don't even know that they are tools that he's given us. He puts light on things, and we don't know why he puts light on them. And then we get to that dark spot where that light works, and that's good. They've got tools that take out special screws because they've made special screws that take a, you know, why can't they all just be the same? But no, some of them got different stuff on them, you run into those and you, how do you do that? And then you find out that there's a tool for it. After you've wrecked the head of it, trying to get it out the wrong way, whatever, you know. There are just things. There's things that you know that you don't know that you know. And there's ways that you know that you don't know that you know the way to. And the Lord has promised us that he'll make a way. He said, I'll make a way. He makes a way when it seems there is no way. He makes a way. So if we don't know what way, what do? Wait upon the Lord like a tree planted by the water. And don't be moved. See, we have this. We have, the world doesn't have this, folks. The world doesn't have this. That's why they can have everything and they're still scrambling for something. And we've got everything and we don't have to scramble at all. We don't have to wear out the knees on our jeans crawling around trying to find an answer. When God's got an answer, he'll just give to us. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We can choose faith over fear. Faith over, we can choose it. But guess what? Got to keep getting deeper. Every time you choose, you go deeper. Every time we choose Jesus, we go deeper. Because every time we choose Jesus, we get what we've chosen, and it builds our confidence. So many people don't have any confidence because they don't. They believe he exists, but they don't choose him. You know? There's a difference. I set before you, life is choices. I set before you the way of life and death. Choose life. Just choose life. Just choose life. Just choose life. Don't be afraid. If God is leading you, just go with him. You know? I mean, Vicki said she talked about it in Sunday school. I mean, this place is here because we just went with him. We weren't going anywhere. I remember the phone call. I remember where I was standing in the house when I got the phone, and John said, we have a Bible study. Would you guys like to come? Sure. That's how this came. God had a plan. He did. And we weren't really trying to thwart his plans, but we tried a lot of different things, you know. I didn't know about what you could be called. I didn't know about being a pastor. My analysis of it was that, Lord, I just got out of the frying pan, and you want me to get in the fire? Talk to every pastor in town, and offered a group of wonderful people to them, like I could offer people. But talked to them and said, "Hey, these are great people. They just would like life, and I would be happy to come off the road of musical evangelism. And whenever I'm back, I will help you. I will help you learn to worship with them." You'd be amazed at what people interpreted that as. It's of the devil. I'm going to help you worship God, but it's of the devil. Whoever, how, what, how, where could they come up with that kind of thinking? They forced us. I record messages. Because the Lord told me in the beginning to record messages. And I recorded a message that I gave to go out and be a musical evangelist. And before I got home to eat lunch, someone had already changed the message, said I was told the people that everybody that didn't give was going to go to hell. And a preacher was the biggest promoter of that plan. And so I went to visit him with my boom box. Set it down, had it queued up to what they were talking about, hit the play button. And what it said was, as the Lord said, that I wasn't supposed to receive a stipend from this church because he said, frankly, not everybody there likes you. I could accept that. And so they shouldn't have to support you if they don't like you. I could understand that. And so I just told them the truth about the offering. I didn't tell you anybody was going to hell. And that pastor listened to the actual message. It wasn't what he thought. But you know, the funny thing was, is he was a little bit like Adam. When Adam got caught, he said, "Well, I didn't know, so-and-so said so." I said, but you spread the word. Well, anyway. In that, God took me to a deeper place. He took me to a place where I knew that he could protect me and take care of me no matter what. It didn't make me, well, I don't care what anybody says. No, you still care what people say. It just means that if you tell the truth makes you free. It makes it more comfortable to go deeper. It helps you to just crush excuses. It helps you to desire that beneath the surface is Jesus. See, that's what we want. No matter how deep life goes, no matter how deep circumstances go, no matter how deep, let those things run into Jesus. Let him be the response. Let him be. Because you see, we need to stand with an appeal to heaven for the body of Christ. We need to stand. We need to stand. We need to stand for our country. We need to stand. We're the only thing. We're the only thing keeping it from sinking out of sight. And so we need to be honest and bold. We need to be. We need to help people. And you can do that. You can do that because you have Jesus. And you have Jesus not just a little bit on the surface. And he's not a real thin piece of glass that's going to bust up. You've got Jesus. Deeper than you know. Deeper than you know. You can be sure. You can be sure of that. Because he's showing you the way. He's leading you in the way. He's bringing people by. He's active in your life. Recognize him. Know that he is. Just know that he is. Yeah. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're truly my disciples, he said, if you remain faithful to my teachings. That's not a problem. That's not a problem. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit can hold the reins, and steer and guide and whisper, and if that's what we want, so what do we want? We want him, right? We want to be led by the Spirit. And I want to be halter broke. I want to be so that he doesn't even have to have a rope. I walk my neighbor's dog now, and sometimes I just let go of the rope to see if he'll stop and if he'll come to me. Yesterday, somehow or another, I find myself doing a hit and roll on the highway, and I don't know if I tripped or if the rope got me. And I get him so I don't have to use that rope to have that happen. But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. He is so deep in us, so deep. He is so deep. We just need to look for him when we get there. And if we look, we'll see him. Father, we thank you that there is no limit to your love. There's no limit to your power. There's no limit to your peace. And we declare together the deeper place. Deeper, deeper, deeper in the love of God. You're leading the way. We'll figure it out when we get to the place. But there's one thing we know for certain. When we do, we'll find you. And we declare America will be saved because we make an appeal to heaven. It's not going down. It's not going under. Nobody can stop us because we pour out more of the Word of God to the world than anywhere else. And the Word must go forth. In Jesus' name, we declare it. America will be saved. And people will see the truth. And the light will shine in the darkness. And captives will be set free. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Any additions or corrections?